Turn to the 17th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 17. We'll begin reading at verse 15. If you have a King James Bible, you're welcome to read along with us. If not, why just listen. Let's do it. I'll read verse 15, you read verse 16, and so on. Let's stand. Read the word. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?
And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And the
And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him.
And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation.
But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the word we have in our hands. We ask you to give us wisdom, fill us with our Holy Spirit, lead us. Lord, some of them here are lost, save them. All of us that need to be drawn closer to you, draw us. May your Holy Spirit have his way. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. We had come down to the covenant, and the covenant was that all of your males were going to be circumcised, and anybody that was not circumcised was cut off from the people. And so here's the covenant with God's people, establishing with Abraham, and in verse 15, where we started reading, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Now, have you been praying for anything for a long time? You may be a little discouraged because God hadn't given you just exactly what you want, and he hasn't answered your prayer. Well, look what Abraham did. Good night. 99. Eddie made me a grandfather at 40. And I've got a great big family now. I've got a bunch of grandchildren, a bunch of great-grandchildren. A big family. But here's Abraham. He's 99. And his legitimate, high-class, legal, free wife, Sarai, has never born a child. And if he's 99, she's 89. And so, here a while back, Sarai says, doesn't look like I'm going to bear any children to you, but I own this slave. I own this maid. And if I give her to you as a wife, then she bears children, they'll be my children. Have you ever tried to help God out? I want to say something to you. I might say it two or three times today. You can't help God out. You can't help Him. God does not need your help. God is not in help. The Bible says He created the world by speaking the word. Let there be light. And there was light. All God has to do is speak the word. You remember the guy that came to Jesus and wanted the healing? And Jesus says, well, I'll go or whatever. And the man says, you don't have to go. Just speak the word. And Jesus said, that's the greatest example of faith I've seen. He said, I'm a soldier. I'm an officer. I tell a man to do something, he goes and does it. You're the Lord from glory. Whatever you say goes. You don't have to come to my house. And his child was healed. He got what he wanted. And he did it by great faith. And Jesus said that was the greatest faith he'd encountered. Now that's amazing. Do you trust God? How much do you trust God? How much do you really trust God? How much you trust yourself? Some of you trust doctors. Some of you trust politicians. That's a mistake. None of them can do what they say they do. None of them. Not the best, not the most honest, not none of them. I was arguing with my father one time about some politician. And he said, well, son, they're all crooks. Just vote for the smartest one. So that was his attitude. Now, you may not be as down on politics as maybe I am. But at any rate, you don't need to help God out. And that's what Sarah and Abraham were doing. They were helping God out. God couldn't give Sarah a child. He'd promised a child to her, but it hasn't happened. She's an old woman. He's an old man. He doesn't have the child. So he takes in Hagar. And he has a child by her. And oh man, you remember the story of Hagar? She began to sport herself around because she could get pregnant and Sarah couldn't. Sarah got to really coming down on her hard and then she ran away. And God found her out by the bush and told her to go back and submit herself. And she did. And so Abraham is right now 89 years old, 99 years old, and he's got a son that's 13. He's got a son. It's his son. He's 13 years old. His name's Ishmael. And the way the Bible describes him, a wild man. I bet you that kid was a lot of fun to be around. I'll bet you Abraham was as proud of Ishmael as he could be. I know what happened to me when I had sons. It changed everything about me. Wow. I'm a dad. That's my son. Boy, I'm so proud of him doing that. I'm proud of him doing that. Well, look at that. Have you ever heard people brag on their kids? Your kids are the greatest kids in the world. My wife had the two most beautiful little boys that ever were born. That's what she said. Now, I know there's some other women here that would have a disagreement with that. They would think they did. You know Abraham is as proud of Ishmael as he can be. He helped God out. He got a son. Well, take a look at this. Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give her a son also of her. Yeah, I will bless her. She shall be a mother of nations. She's 89 years old. She hasn't had her son yet. And he's saying how great she's going to be. He changed her name. Remember back in the chapter, Abram's name was changed to Abraham because he was going to be the father of many nations. And now then we come on down a little while later and he changes Sarah's name. It's not Sarai anymore. It's Sarah because she's going to be a mother of nations. Kings of people are going to come out of her. Isn't that something? That's beautiful. Okay. I will bless her, verse 16. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And then hear what Abraham said in verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Do you know, there aren't many people that had better examples of prayer than Abraham. There aren't many people that got the type of answer to prayer that Abraham got. I don't know that I've ever had any prayers like some of them I read about Abraham. Now, Abraham's asking God for something here. Something that meant a lot to him. My son Ishmael, my 13-year-old boy. And he's a good kid. Man, I'm proud of him. You know he was. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Do you know what he's done? He's helped God out and stepped out of God's will. And every time you help God out, you step out of God's will. You let God be God. You obey him. Don't try to change what he's told you to do. Don't try to think you got a better plan. Your little pea brain up against God's. The smartest people in the world are just dumb as dirt in comparison to the brain that God is. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're way above us. And don't think you have to help him out because he can get anything done he wants. And if he waits for a while, have you ever thought about this? You are so obsessed with time. It frustrates you, doesn't it? You don't use your time well enough. It frustrates you. You don't have enough time. It frustrates you. You don't have time to get done what you want to get done. And God isn't on your time schedule, is he? He's never been on mine. Seems like God's always late. Seems like God has to... Well, look at there. Now, there's another grandbaby walking out the door. Look at that new grandmother there. Wow. Is she proud? Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. You know what Abraham's doing? He's proud of that boy. And he said, Oh, God, you know, you don't have to give me another son. I got one. I like this one. Oh, God, why don't you let Ishmael live before you? Well, Ishmael can't. But he's not what God planned. There's a boy named Isaac. And to me, he is dull as dirt. Ishmael? Wow, what a man-child you got going there. And Isaac, he just doesn't worry about getting married till he's 40-something. He's not pushing dad. Isaac doesn't seem like the great leader of men. How would you figure out the will of God? He rejects a man that is a fighter, Ishmael, and he takes a man that's of peace and quiet and almost hangs around his mother in Isaac. But you and I don't know all of God's plans. And I tell you what, we can't figure them out. If you quit trying to figure everything out and just obey, you go a long ways. You'll go a whole lot better. Your life will end up in a whole lot better situation. So here's one of the mistakes of one of the greatest men that ever lived. He listened to his wife when she offered him her maid. He should have said, if he had had the faith that he ought to have had, he should have said, we'll wait on God. We're not going to help God out. We'll wait on God. But he didn't. And he says, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Well, I know some of you got some children that you pray to God, Oh, that my son might live before you. Some of you got some children that are out there and they're messing their lives up. They don't think right. Oh, they think right. They think they're smarter than anybody else in the world. They're smarter than God. They're smarter than the Bible. They don't need to read the Bible. They're too smart. They know how to live. But they're not making a very good job of it. Maybe you ought to listen to God. Well, I know you pray that way. Oh, that my son might live before you. And if I were you, I'd keep praying that way. That God might come along and turn that son or that daughter around. He's done it for a whole lot of people. Did it for me. Did it for you. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Now, what is this covenant? It's a covenant of circumcision to be a part of the family of God. And that circumcised family of God is going to inherit certain lands. And some of them, they've inherited many of those lands before, but they've never inherited them all in history that I know of. All the way from the river Euphrates the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. I don't remember any time they controlled all of that. But now then, we got a fight, we got a war, and it's been going on for I don't know how long, all over a little bitty bit of this land we're talking about. Now this is what God said long time before we ever had Arabs and Israelis and fighting in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem divided up into three parts. And the Muslim mosque over the Dome of Omar. Wow. Way back there. Oh, that Israel might live before thee. Nope. Dad, you got out of God's will. Dad, you're helping God didn't help God. He didn't need your help. And in fact, you caused an awful lot of grief. Because the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac are fighting right now. And have been fighting for centuries. Biggest enemies. But he said, my covenant's going to be with Isaac. And so, the rest of this book is going to almost forget Ishmael. Well, they're going to tell his story. He lives, he has 12 princes as sons, and he has a kings come out of him, and we have his inheritance all the way down here. But the rest of this book's going to be about Isaac. Why? You know, it's the most important thing in your life that you get in the will of God. It's not so important that you make a lot of money. Not so important that you have a bunch of kids. It's not so important that you're thought of as successful. It's not so important that you have a great big house. It's really important that you get in the will of God. If you could find out and just realize, God will bless me if I'm in His will. I don't think you can get any better thing than to make up your mind, if God says it, I believe it, and I'm going to follow it. God's got the answer. Got the answer to your marriage. Got the answer to raising your kids. Got the answer to your happiness. You ever wonder why you're so miserable? Because you're out of the will of God. You're not living the way He taught you to live. You say, well, that's a dull book. Yeah. I might have thought that the first time I read it too. But then, the first year I was a Christian, I read the New Testament 20 times. Boy, did it become a whole lot more sensible. Boy, did it make a lot of sense. And wife and I, we agreed on one thing. We agreed that the Bible would be our authority, King James Bible. One in English you can just read and buy in any grocery store. And that would settle our arguments. If it could possibly be settled by the Bible, and most of them can, by the way. They sure can. And you know what? We were together 59 and a half years and have one of the best marriages you could have. And I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful. I miss her terribly today, every day. She was a lot of fun to be around. Oh, did she ever fight me? Oh, you bet your bottom dollar. She would stand up for what she believed, and if I believed something, she'd make me prove it. Why don't you get in this book? He said, well, I won't understand it all. No, but you'll gradually understand a whole lot more than what you do now. And you just might get an insight. You just might be reading some dull pages, and all of a sudden one verse will stand out and change your life. It's a powerful book. At any rate, he said, I have heard thee, verse 20, as for Ishmael. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Now that's a pretty good answer to prayer, wouldn't you think? He said, I want Ishmael to live before you. Well, he said, I've heard you. I'm going to make him great. I'm going to make him rich. I'm going to make him fruitful. I'm going to multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. I wonder how many he's begotten now over all these years. I'll make him a great nation. And he did. Notice this but, though. This but is the will of God. But my covenant. He didn't promise Ishmael all those things. He promised Isaac. Isaac as the descendant, the heir of Abraham. We are the heirs of Abraham if we believe God by faith. He's the father of the faithful, the Bible says about him. One of the greatest men that ever lived. In fact, all of the history of Genesis up to here is bringing us up to Abraham. And then all the rest of it coming on down, even Christ coming and Paul and his instructions to the church, were the sons of Abraham by faith. Because that's where he started. Look at verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Okay. The whole male household were circumcised here. Verse 23. And Abraham took Ishmael his son and all that were born in his house and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in his house, bought with money of a stranger, were circumcised with him. Back during World War II, when the Germans had decided to exterminate all the Jews, do you know what they looked for? They couldn't tell the women. But what they looked for were whether a man was circumcised or not. And if he was circumcised, they believed he was a Jew. And that was a sign, the seal, the covenant. And it's still today. Same thing. Now, you say, well, what does that mean? I have no idea. Why did God do it to the Jews? I don't know why that was the seal of their covenant. Some things I don't understand. I don't know why God did certain things. In fact, you can ask me a lot of questions, and why is one that I don't know how to answer. Because they come from the mind of God. And he's got a much bigger mind than you and I have. And believe me, you may think you're smart, and one of these days you're going to stand up and ask God some really tough questions that he's going to have a problem answering. You're going to fall at his feet like dead. You're going to be so shocked, so moved, so scared, so whatever when this being, God, anybody that could make this world, anybody that could make you, you're no accident. You believe in all this evolution garbage? There's some truth to it. But for first cause, no way. No way. God Almighty created you. You are wonderfully made. If you realize how many living things are in you to keep you alive. And if they die, these living things you can't see, You can't feel. You can't direct. You're seeing. You see the light. You're moving. Your heart's pumping. And if it ever quits pumping, you're dead. It has to just keep on pumping for 70, 80, 90, or 100 years. That one pump. Yeah, I got to keep that thing going. Wow. I don't know how these two little balloons in my head make me see all these different colors and see all these different faces. Your brain. Your brain is more complicated than the universe. One human brain is more complicated than the universe. Of all those stars out there. And the more we learn, the more complicated it is. It's not an accident. No more than a watch. Do you actually think you could take a Rolex and say that Rolex didn't come from a Rolex maker? But it came because there was an explosion in a factory and all these chemicals sloshed around for 100 million years. And you got your Rolex. How stupid is that? Amen. Believe me. You are complicated. You are made so they can take a strand of your hair and tell what you've been eating. They can recognize. Nobody's got the same fingerprints. Nobody's got the same eye print. Nobody's got the same brain wave. We're something else. And the more I understand about the human body, the greater my God looks to me. I tell you what, you were created by God. You might ought to find His will for your life. Any rate, they got them circumcised, and that is the covenant. And the Bible said for them that if they would not be circumcised, they would be cut off from the whole family and all the blessings of God. And that was the people that we know today as Jews. Now, look at chapter 18. Here's another thing about Abraham. God visited him. Have you been visited by somebody important lately? About the most important people to visit me are my kids. They're important to me. I like their visits. They can come anytime they want to. They know it. They know they're welcome because I love them. I think family is one of the greatest things in the world that God gave us. It's a great joy, tremendous pleasure. But President Obama is not going to come to San Antonio and look up Lyndall Kincaid. I'm just not that important to him. But you know God visited Abraham several times? You think how big this man was, how great he was, how important he was in the will of God? And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, lifted up his eyes and looked, and three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground, and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort you your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, and therefore are you come to your servant." And they said, "So do, as I said." All of a sudden, Abraham, he didn't have television, he didn't have radio, he probably didn't have any books. He was sitting in his tent door in the evening. And three men come up and he recognizes them. One of them is God. God can dress up like a man. Did you know that? He did in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. God in the flesh. God took upon him human flesh. And walked among men. That was God walking there. He was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in one body, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. You believe in Jesus, He can forgive your sins, He can save your soul, He can change your life. Well, here's God putting Himself in a body of a man and walking up to the tent of Abraham. And Abraham recognized Him. Now that's a tremendous thing. Are you saved? Then God visited you. Something happened. You were hearing the preaching just like you'd heard the preaching many, many times before, and all of a sudden something happened. Boy, it did to me. I'd listen to a lot of preaching. I'd listen to my dad talk. I'd listen to, I guess, I don't know, a lot of opinions. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm sitting in an auditorium of 500 people, and I'm way back over there about the second pew from the end. And it was like this guy standing up here knew my wife. He'd been talking to her. He knew secrets about me that only she knew. And I'm way back over there, and I thought I was the only one in there. He was talking to me. I didn't get away from him. I didn't make a move or anything like that, but when I got home that night, yeah, I began to sing old hymns. My wife said, if you're going to sing all night, would you please go up and get up out of bed and go in the other room? So I got up and went in the other room. And then there was my little boy. And I loved that little boy. And I began to think, if I turned out in proportion to my dad as I did, and he did the same thing to me, well, that was the devil himself walking, that little baby down there. And it made me know I was a sinner who needed a Savior. Wow. God Almighty touched my heart and changed me in one day. One day. One act of faith. One act of repentance. When's the last time you really repented? When's the last time you got out on your knees and said, God, forgive me. Forgive me for my cussing. Forgive me for taking the name in vain. Forgive me for my adultery. Forgive me for my sins. God will change you. I used to think if I ever really got saved and got right with God, that life would cease to be fun. All my fun would be gone. Man, fun didn't begin till I came to the Lord. What a life. What a difference. What a blessing. Well, he's at the door. Abraham recognizes who it is. And he's going to get Sarah, and he's going to get a young man to go out there and get him a fresh kid. Talk about fresh meat. They got fresh meat. Take a kid out there, kill it, prepare it, and I'll bet you it wasn't sushi. I'll bet you all the blood was drained out of it and it was burned. Well done, all you medium nothings. You can tell I like well done stuff. My wife gave me the burnt offering most of her life. I like it. Well, I'll bet you he brought that meat back there, and that's a good meal, and they sat down and they fellowship over a table. That's beautiful, isn't it? And Abram hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abram ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man and hasted to dress it. And he took the butter and milk and the calf which he dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Look at verse 14. One of the most important verses. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He comes down and visits him. Abraham puts on a feast. I mean, fresh kill, fresh cook. He went to a beautiful feast. And the Lord answered him and said, Sarah's going to have a son. Wow. 90 years old, I'm going to have a son? I tell you, is anything too hard for the Lord? You ought to mark that verse. It's marked in my Bible. Any Bible I've got, that verse is marked. I need to remind myself every once in a while when I'm overwhelmed with my problems. Can you get overwhelmed with your problems? Yeah, you can. Money problems, sex problems, kid problems, government problems. But there's lots of problems. You can get overwhelmed, and sometimes you wonder, what can I do? Well, you need to remember this verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, no. You know, you and I have problems we can't answer. God doesn't have those. Your problems aren't even a problem for God. He can answer them. He can change them in a moment's time. And they happen that way. Have you ever had it happen to you? You are under the gun, really. You're in trouble. And you're praying and you're seeking and or you're trying. And all of a sudden, it just disappears. That ever happened to you? That's happened to me. Did you ever think to thank God? Did it ever cross your mind, I might ought to thank God? You know, I was flooded out last week. I was home. I couldn't get out. The bridge that I generally drive across, the water was 5 feet above the bridge. I'm not driving in that. You may want to go through it. I'm not driving in that. I turned around and tried to go the other way. Well, I went through 3 creeks until I finally gave up and said, nope, forget it. Water's rising all around me. Every once in a while, see, we get ourselves into trouble. We got all sorts of problems. Well, I did not want to be flooded in this week, too. Missed 2 weeks in a row because of flooding waters. And I came in and spent the night with Billy. So I came in the rain yesterday. And it was raining. I don't know what those creeks did out at my place. I don't know whether I'll get back tonight or not. But I'm going to try. Let me tell you something. There's some things that aren't in your control. I don't control the weather. Jesus does. I don't. God controls weather. And we've been praying for rain. How long have we been praying for rain? And we've prayed in the church for rain. We've had a drought area for how many years? Every once in a while we get a flood or something. We get a hurricane. But we've just had a drought time. And we've been praying for rain. Now don't start complaining about the rain. You've been praying for years for God to rain, and He's rained. Why don't you thank God for it? Thank you, Lord. Maybe it's a little more than I wanted, but thank you, Lord. You ought to give Him thanks. He controls things like that. You say, well, I don't know why we can't get any rain around here. Well, maybe you ought to repent of your sins. Maybe you ought to seek God and say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. And maybe God might give you rain. Well, thank God for the rain, because we've had it. And it's been doing an awful lot of good. I know there's some damage. You almost can't get that without getting some damage. But anyway, Abraham is shocked again. Here is God telling him one more time, Sarah's going to have a son. Sarah is shocked. She says, can I actually bear, which I've passed the time of my bearing age? I'm an old person. And am I going to have a son? And God says, right here, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now get that in your head. You really do need it, because every once in a while you're going to go through some troubles. And our little pea brains, we think we're so smart. And yet, boy, there's just a lot we don't know. And God, things about God and about us and about the future and all that. What little we know is tremendous. But think about how much we don't know. Anything too hard for the Lord? No. For the Lord, there's not a problem. He is provided for everything. I can actually go into it. I've been in many jails and prisons. And I can actually go in and tell a murderer that if he'll repent of his sins and take Christ as his Savior, God will save him. And that's a legitimate offer. That is a legitimate offer. Now that offends some good people. That a murderer could go to heaven the same way they could. But you see, it's not just good people, it's saved people that go to heaven. There are going to be some good people in hell. Some people who followed a lot of the rules, followed a lot of the laws. They were leaders, leaders in religion. I believe they're going to be a bunch of preachers in hell. Because they're not saved. And they're not teaching the truth. Anything too hard for the Lord? No, no, no. He can save your soul. You're not too big. You're not too tough. You're not the worst one he's ever dealt with. Man, there's some of those kings in Israel. And some of them repented. Even in a foreign prison. And God brought them out. You would think, he can't bring them out. What's he going to do? But he did. You can't be counted out any time God's in the mix. Can't do it. Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now, a lot of things too hard for me. A lot of things too hard for you. But there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Okay. Verse 14, at the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. How many times have you lied to God? Sarah just lied to God. I didn't laugh. He said, oh, but you did laugh. You know, what a foolish thing to lie to God. Sometimes it's pretty foolish just to lie to your parents. You got chocolate all around your lips. And you say, I didn't eat it. Your kids. Now, why did you eat all the chocolate, Billy? I didn't eat it. He didn't eat it. But there's chocolate on his hands, chocolate on his mouth. A mom and daddy knows you just lied to me, kid. Well, what about God who knows everything? You can't pray a lie to God and get by with it. Oh, you can fool me. I'm half gullible. You can fool me. You can fool your teacher sometimes. You can fool your spouse sometimes. You might fool your mother and daddy sometimes. You can't fool God. Get it in your head who you're dealing with. You're not just dealing with another human being like you. You're not dealing with the brothers and sisters you were raised with. You're not dealing with the parents you were raised with. You're not dealing with the bosses that you deal with. You're dealing with God. She just lied to God and said, I didn't do that. Lost my place. And verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now look what he says. Abraham's going to become a mighty nation, and all nations of the world are going to be blessed in him. Now notice what he says about him in here in verse 19. I know him. God's looking at your character all the time. And you can't hide from God. It's so foolish for us to think we can hide anything from God. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, and Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? What's Abraham praying for now? What is his purpose in approaching God now? Lot. Lot's his nephew, but he was almost like his own son. When Lot's daddy died, Abraham took Lot with him everywhere he went. Until finally they were too rich and too big, and their herdmen were arguing with each other, and Abraham said, take your pick, whichever direction you want you go, and I'll go the other way. And Lot looked over, and the plain of Sodom at that time was green. Man, it looked beautiful. It wasn't desert. It wasn't burned out. It wasn't old rocks. My wife's grandparents moved into New Mexico around Fort Sumner. Now you drive out there now, it's desert. It's just desert. But when her grandparents went in there, it had tall grass. Just this green, beautiful country. And they broke it up for farming. And that's probably what ruined it. They begin to till that land, and the wind comes along and blows the topsoil away and whatever. It doesn't look green and rich and beautiful. And in Kendall County, they say it takes 20 acres to raise a cow a year. Out there, it's 100 acres per cow. That's how bad a desert it is. Well, right now, Sodom and Gomorrah, the area, were right around the Dead Sea. Lowest place on earth. It wasn't that way when Lot went there. Remember what it said about the land when Lot went there? It was green. It was rich. He said, Abraham says, Lot, take your pick. He said, well, you take the desert, I'm going to take Sodom. Now, he went down to Sodom and he decided he didn't like living in tents so much anymore. So he moved into the town. Why? He got into the politics of it. And he began to be one of those that sat at the door of Sodom and made some judgments and whatever. He's a recognized man in Sodom. Now, you know what Sodom stands for? Sodomy. That's where the name Sodomy comes from. It was a homosexual place. And they wasn't just volunteers, as they tell you when you go down there. And we see the thing. I don't have much time. But Abraham is now getting ready to pray one of the most fabulous prayers ever in the history of the world. It's amazing. You ought to read it. Read it before you come next Sunday. Read about the prayer of Abraham for Sodom and read about Sodom. God bless you.